make music with the heavens. We will sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. Sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. That you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. What's not to love about you? Heaven and earth adore you. King and kingdoms bow down. Son of God, you are the one. The one. You are the love that frees us. You are the light that feeds us. Like a fire burning, Son of God, you are the one. You are the one we're living for. You hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. Sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. We will sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. We will sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus.
Good morning. Welcome to the Woo for me. Thank you. Thank you. As you notice, we've got the worship team. They will be leading us in a couple songs throughout this service. We've also got a choir that will be leading us in a song. And Dottie's been doing double duty as well. She led us in some songs for the first service, and she'll be back for the second service as well. I'll just warn you up front, as we begin our time of worship today, worship is going to look a little different today. It's going to be a singing Sunday. The biggest difference is going to be no sermon. Thank you for not wooing to that part. Thank you for not wooing to that part. The idea came back, as a matter of fact, a couple months ago when we've clipped out some songs or whittled them down in this service or had to cut them out completely in the first service that hey, we need a service just dedicated to singing. That is, dedicated to lifting up our praises and finding our voice of gratitude with God through song. And so, yes, there's going to be no sermon, but probably like five sermonettes sprinkled throughout the service. As we gaze at Scripture, what Scripture says about who God is, and we pair it up with some songs that focus our attention on singing our thanksgiving and praises to Him. So that's going to be the flow of service. No intentional monologue, but singing our praises and lifting up our voices in sight to God. You're saying, Pastor, why do this? What's the reason? One of the reasons, located in Psalm 100, reminds us the value of singing in our life, particularly with thanksgiving in mind. We're heading into Thanksgiving week. Psalm 100 says this: shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. I'm wondering, did we bring our shouts today? Let's just try it. A little warm-up with me, okay? On the count of three, we're just going to give a little Woo! Okay? You can even do a little fist bump if it's going to help you. On the count of three, we'll all get worshiped, warmed up on the count of three with that. One, two, three. Woo! Wow, yes. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. That's the week we're in, right? We sing a song along those lines. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Come into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever. His faithfulness continues to each generation. There's something about singing, connecting to thanksgiving, that puts us in the right attitude of gratitude heading into the week that we're going in. We need this singing. We need this gratitude to be truly thankful people and ultimately realizing our thanksgiving is rooted in him. Amen? And so that's what's brought us to worship today. I invite you to stand as you're able. Shout, sing, let's let it out, all in the praise of him. Let's stand together. it is good and right and a joyful thing to give you our thanks and praises. And so, Lord, we want to lift those up to you. Reasons for gratitude. As Pam Benedict reminded us this past week at GLOW, that we have many reasons to be thankful for that we often take for granted. Running water. We didn't have to heat up our warm shower this morning on an open fire. We've got food that often fills the cupboards and different things like that when many people around the world are struggling to meet one meal a day. We've got breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Lord, there are so many different things like that that fill our day, that give us reason to gush gratitude. We just want to give you thanks for not taking it for granted, but listing it one by one and counting our blessings. We count them and give them thanks in your name, in the name of Jesus. And his people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Good.
all the time. Thank you for that worship reminder, both people and praise team alike. God is good. A few announcements for us as we continue on our time of worship here together. One, if you're a guest with us, if you could just take this moment to fill out a visitor information card, you should find one in the pew located right before you, and you can drop that in the offering plate when the ushers come in just a moment. That would be your gift to us, and we'd be appreciative of that. Also, a few reminders. Last week, we stuffed the bulletins with the surveys. They are not stuffed this week to save some paper, but there are some on the glass memorial cases. If you haven't had in your hands a copy of those yet or submitted one electronically, the due date for those is December the 16th. If you could hand those in even after this Sunday, that would be helpful, because actually the next facilities committee meeting will be this upcoming Tuesday, and so that would give us further discussion. If you're wondering who's on the facilities committee or any committee for that matter, as administrative council also comes up following the holiday, that's on the back of your Sunday notes. There's a list of people in all the various committees that make up the leadership of this church that you can know if you're signed up for one of those or if someone else is signed up for those and you're staying that way. That was a joke. If you're signed up for it, you should already know it by this point. That should be a refresher. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. This upcoming Thursday is Thanksgiving Day, and as our part of our annual prep up to the intake of our food is to play some football, some backyard football, and it's open for any ages, kids on up through adults in that way. It's just backyard football, a fun time as a church family to run around a little bit before we consume some of that turkey a little bit later on in the day. The game will start at 9 a.m. If you're planning your family festivities, it should be done by 10:15, 10:30-ish. It's just a laid-back time, and so come and go as you can, but enjoy some time together playing our annual Turkey Bowl this Thanksgiving Day. Following in the back of the service and at the back of the church in the narthex area is sign-ups for Salvation Army bell ringers. I'm not sure how the sign-ups are doing right now. I know before the first service that there was about four slots to still be filled up in that way. Our dates is Friday, December the 7th, and Saturday, December the 22nd, where we ring the bell for the Salvation Army. The Salvation Army meets out of this church on Tuesday afternoons when funds are available, and those funds are distributed not only in the holidays, but throughout the year for different families in need to pay for different utilities or fooding or the like in that way. And so we ring the bell to help raise funds for that. And like I said, our two dates are indicated back there. You can sign up to ring the bell by going to the narthex, the back of the church, and just indicating next to one of the time slots still available, put your name and some contact information so that we can be aware of that for those two dates in mind. Also, more Christmas information in mind, Lunch with St. Nick. It's a program, an event put on by the Bellevue Ministerial Association, and it's more geared towards young kids or early elementary age kids. And so if you have a kid or a grandkid in those age groups, bring them on out to the rec center Saturday, December 1st. There's going to be all sorts of fun games and activities around the season, as well as pointing to the faith through the season. And there'll be a free lunch provided for the kids too. That's from 11 a.m. till 1 p.m. We got a couple weeks leading up to that, but just so you can put that date in your calendar, once again, that's Saturday, December the 1st, Lunch with St. Nick. And also, even before that, we have some help that's needed. Right now, there's boxes being transported as a part of OCC. You saw all those boxes lining up in the sanctuary just last week. Those are being carted away and to be shipped out and distributed from there. This upcoming Saturday is another opportunity to help your church family out. And there's going to be some tree trimming that takes place in the trees to the side of the church lot. They'll begin that work at 9 a.m. Once again, that's this Saturday, 9 a.m. Tree trimming, help needed on behalf of the trustees. If you want more information on that, I'm sure Jim will give you a hook, line, and sinker. All that's going on at 9 a.m. this upcoming Saturday. Last but not least, a couple of our small groups have been finishing up. Actually, all of them finishing up for session one. Session two will begin mid-January. Tentatively, January 13th will be the kickoff date for that. And you can see the Monday group pictured here, hosted at the Denninger's house with Steve and Kathy Pausch. Wednesday group hosted here at the church with Julie and Justin Jump, myself leading. And then Thursday, hosted at Jeannie Zimmerman's house with Sally Boyd and Dave Broski in leadership roles in that way. like I said, a fun first session together. Continue to keep praying for the small group movement as the second session gets set to kick off. If there's interest in joining one of those groups or two of those groups in that way, there are some limited sign-up slots that will be available when the turn of the year comes, but you'll have to act on that fast because there is about 5 slots only available for those different groups there to be mindful of in that way. Forgot to mention at the beginning of the service, but also throughout this whole service, if you would like some prayer at any point, it's a singing service. It's about lifting up our praises, but throughout the service too, if you feel the nudge or the need for some prayer at any point, there are folks gathered on the other side of this brick wall that are just waiting to pray personally with you for any prayer request that you may have that you want prayer through in a personal nature. And so if at any point in the service you can exit through those doors or exit towards the back, you will find people that would love to pray for you throughout this whole service as well as we continue to sing our praises. Let's continue to worship at this time through giving, if the ushers would come forward.
Together to
I hope that's a song stuck in our head this Thursday, right? It's got a ring to it. Thank him. Thank. Kinda. Till I ruin the ring. I gotcha. We want to come thank him, that's for sure. But how do we thank him in the midst of pain and suffering? Easy to give him thanks for those things that we're aware of, right? The full cupboards, the family, friends to enjoy the day with. But how do you thank him when it hurts, through the pain, the suffering, when you've lost a loved one and you're feeling that empty seat sitting and staring at you this upcoming Thursday? How do we thank him in the hurt? Well, we could read Psalm 42. I realize, though, I've double couponed even this service despite no sermon, so we're not going to read Psalm 42, but I would encourage you. 2018 has been one of those struggling years to thank him. It's felt more pain than pleasure in 2018. Psalm 42 might be a good psalm to wake up to this upcoming Thursday, because the psalmist is wrestling with that himself. He remembers the days of giving joyful praises to God, and yet what he's feeling like on this occasion is sadness and discouragement. And he uses that as the common refrain throughout Psalm 42, trying to grasp the hope that he has ultimately in him. Psalm 42 would be a good one to look at. These upcoming two songs are also good songs along those lines. We've shared with you the story behind the song of It Is Well With My Soul before. Horatio Spafford writing the song in the wake of really going belly up with his business because of the Great Chicago Fire, and then literally on a boat that is transversing the same Atlantic Ocean where he had lost all of his children in a tragic boat collapse that sunk at the bottom of the Atlantic. So he's penning these words literally rolling in those waves like sea billows roll, like he writes about in the song. Not a cliche song, but a song penned out of great pain and suffering. That next song, we might not be familiar with the story behind it. Laura's story, she actually sung up at Lakeside this past summer. Maybe some of you were able to hear her. She writes a song called Blessings that totally just wrecks the way we look at blessings. Because we think of blessings, right, as the comfort, the absence of pain and all of this. And yet she writes this song, Blessings, in the midst of pain. Her spouse, newly wedded, diagnosed with a brain tumor. And the uncertainty that swirls around that, many wondering whether this day is going to be the last day together, the struggle of rehab as well in the wake of that, some vision loss and memory loss going through that. She writes this song swirling through those circumstances and what she was going through, a spouse suffering with brain tumor in that way. And so I would invite you just to listen up to the lyrics as we sing these two songs together. Neither one Christian cliches about what blessing is, but true, powerful truth about how do we bless God in the pain, in the hurt, in the tragedies of life. Both these songs hit on that theology along with Psalm 42. I invite you to stand as you're able, and let's sing them together as a part of our worship.
Oh,
We pray for blessings. We pray for peace. Comfort for family. Protection while we sleep. We pray for healing. For prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while you hear each spoken need. Yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through drops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? Blessings come through raindrops. What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise?
Prayer is, for those in the midst of sufferings and pains that this world does churn up. We pray, Lord, to have eyes to see this Thanksgiving, your blessings through all that hurt and pain. We pray in some way that you are using the pain and the sufferings to draw us even closer to you, to make us even more aware of your love in the midst of these nights that no one else is listening to our cries, no one else is seeing our tears except for you. And so, Lord, we just lift up those concerns to you in the midst of this holiday season to find our Thanksgiving once again rooted in you. In Jesus' name. And his people said, amen. 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 You may be seated. You may be seated. As you're being seated, I want to read for you once again a passage from Philippians that I think piggybacks off those passages and those songs that we just sang a moment ago, because Philippians flips the switch in the exact opposite direction of this. It says this: always be full of joy in the Lord. How do we always be filled with joy in the Lord when we're boarding the Atlantic that's claimed our kids, like "It Is Well With Our Soul" was written with? How do we find the joy in the situation when our spouse has just been diagnosed with brain tumor and we don't know if it's going to be terminal or not? How do we find the joy in those? I think that's the secret behind the text here. It doesn't say to find the joy in those circumstances, does it? I highlighted where our joy is rooted in, right? Did you see it? Always be full of joy where? In our situations? In our circumstances? In our cancers and all these things? No, always be full of joy in the Lord. If our joy is rooted in our Jesus, there's going to be reason for joy even in the midst of pain and suffering. If our joy is only found in our circumstances, though, we're going to be riding the highs and lows based on how our circumstances are going. This writer of Philippians was truly inspired. We can always be filled with joy when we know our joy is rooted in Jesus, who went through pain and suffering himself too, right? That's why we have the cross on display in the church. That's our reminder that through the life of following Jesus is going to go through pain and suffering. And yet it comes out on the other side as we continue to cling to Jesus no matter the circumstances or situations we find ourselves in. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again because, right, this is a message we're prone to forget. And so the writer's helping us out. I'm going to remind you of this. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Maybe that's a little token of joy right there too. Right? And that reminder that the pain and the suffering won't last for forever. As hard as it is, that Jesus is coming for us yet again, and he promises to wipe that away, every tear from our eye. No more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. He promises that on his return. Maybe that's another reason why we can have joy in the midst of pain and suffering, because we realize it doesn't last forever. But he does last forever, and he is coming for us. The Lord is coming soon. He goes on to say, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Tell God those tear-filled nights that you can't stop crying. Tell him. And don't forget to thank him for all he's done too in the past. There's gratitude that's to be sprinkled throughout our life in the memory of what he's done. And then it says God will step in and do something, right? Did you catch that in verse 7? Then, when we presented our prayers to him, when we thanked him for ways that he's acted, as hard as it is to find a reason for gratitude in whatever moment we are, when we've done those, it says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. Notice he doesn't say, then God will give you the desires of your heart, right? Then God will give you whatever you prayed for. No, then God will give you his peace that surpasses even our understanding, that surpasses even our situation. He'll give you his peace. And his peace, it says, will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. I don't know why you need worship, but part of the reason why I need worship is rooted in verse number 8. Worship helps me to fix my eyes on things that are pure and honorable and lovely and praiseworthy. I don't get that from watching TV commercials. I don't get that from the weekly grind, by and large. I don't get that from other spheres in life, but worship roots us and fixes our attention as we lift up our voices in praise to God. As we mouth those words each and every week, it's rooting us into that which is pure and lovely and praiseworthy and admirable. I don't know why you need worship, but I know one of the reasons why I need worship is to help live out verse 8 there. And it's as we're lifting up our praise and worship to Him that we're reminded of where we're heading and where the joy is rooted in. Our next songs are simply just rooted in Him. Songs about what Christ has done that gives us the confidence in the midst of the pain and the crucibles in life. Our next two songs are just aligned in that way. I'm going to have you remain seated. Don't catch your breath. Sing it out in breath, but catch your legs for a moment. We can remain seated for these next two songs as we set our attention on Him and what He has done. And Christ alone is our first.
Thank you.
this way, rejoice in the Lord always, right? I'll say it again, rejoice. All else is going to be sinking sand, right in the highs and the lows. That which is built on the solid rock of Christ, the solid rock that is Jesus. There's reason for true joy in Jesus. I want to invite you at this time to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, not only is it Thanksgiving week, it's the third Sunday in the month, which means it's our One Accord Sunday. We've been walking through the story of Acts each and every time where our word of the year, One Accord, pops up in the early church, the story found in Acts together. And our next passage is Acts chapter 18, where One Accord pops in. Our word actually isn't found until verse 12. We're going to read the context leading up to verse number 12. And so picking up in verse number 1 of Acts chapter 18. If you could shout out the page number so that we could all get there, that would be helpful. 965. We still got people with wind in their wings there. All the songs haven't eaten up. I'm glad for that, Jim. I'm glad for that, Cheryl. Verse number 1 of chapter 18. It says this. After this, Paul left Athens and he went to Corinth. This is actually the backstory that leads up to the writing of the books of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, the events that take place in Corinth. Paul left Athens, went to Corinth. He found a Jew there named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who came from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. He went to see them, and because Paul was of the same trade, he stayed with them, and they worked, for by trade they were tent makers. And Paul argued in the synagogue every Sabbath. He persuaded Jews and Greeks. That word argued might be a poor translation. It's reasoning. It's providing an apologetic behind the faith. It's not standing up in the synagogue and saying, you're stupid, dumb, or something like that. It's a reasoned defense about the reason why Paul believed Jesus was the Christ. And providing the logic, the reasoning behind the faith that he was advocating. So verse number 5. When Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with preaching, testifying to the Jews that Christ was Jesus, that this Messiah, this deliverer hoped for, was it fulfilled by Jesus himself. Verse 6, when they opposed and rivaled him, Paul shook his garments and said to them, your blood be upon your own heads, I'm innocent, from now on I will go to the Gentiles. You can't force someone to believe something. And so Paul's realizing that the choice has to be made by that individual. And so he's saying, I will declare it to others who may be more responsive. I'll go to the Gentiles. Verse 7, he left there. He went to the house of a man named Titus Justus, a worshiper of God. His house was next door to the synagogue. So they didn't have to move locations very far, right next door. Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord together with all his household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized. And it says the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision. In the midst of all this happening, God speaks to Paul in the vision and says, don't be afraid, but speak. Don't be silent, for I am with you, and no man shall attack you to harm you, for I have many people in the city. And he stayed a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. Verse 12, where our word comes into play. When Gallio, the proconsul of Achaia of the Jews, made a united attack upon Paul. That word united is one accord. It's our Greek word homothuadon, from which we get the word one accord, united, togetherness. They made a united attack this time against Paul, and they brought him before the tribunal, saying, this man is persuading men to worship God that's contrary to our law. When Paul was about to open up his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, Gallio's the judge presiding this case, Gallio says to the Jews, if this were a matter of wrongdoing or various crime, I should have reason to bear with you, O Jews. But since it's a matter of question about words and names of your own law, see to it yourselves. I refuse to judge of these things. And he drove them out of the tribunal. So instead they seized Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue. They beat him in front of the tribunal. In other words, a fight breaks out in court, but Gallio, the judge, paid no attention to this. There's a lot of interesting dynamics about how the church relates to Judaism based on even Gallio's perception. We could get into that. That's a sermon, double couponing for another day. The part I want to point out here for this day is that Paul was declared in a vision to keep proclaiming the message, keep telling others. Some would be responsive and some wouldn't be, but keep declaring the good news of who Jesus is, the hope that we have, and don't ever be silent about that. That was Paul's dream and vision given to him by the Lord. It's a reminder of our call as the church. We stand with a message, a gospel, this good news belief of who Jesus is and the difference he can make in our life, and the church is given a vision, a creed, a command. Don't ever keep silent about that. As a matter of fact, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's our message. That's our mantra. That's our mission. And our next songs highlight the mission that we have to declare the good news of who Jesus is. I want to invite you to stand once again. Hopefully the legs are under us at this time. Let's stand and sing once more. Here I Am, Lord, 593, followed by We've a Story to Tell to the Nations.
Thank you.
but don't get too comfortable because we got to sing about heaven in a moment. We're going to sing about that kingdom that's coming, that darkness to dawning, that we get a glimpse of, just a glimpse of, just an appetizer of the full feast that's to come in that kingdom found in the story of Revelation, those closing chapters of the Bible. Let me just read Revelation 21, the first five verses of that chapter for you. John has a vision. The vision is of what's to come, and he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven, the old earth had disappeared. The sea was also gone, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. Catch that imagery. He's dealing with symbolism here, but trying to find the right words to communicate the countdown and the lead up and the anticipation for that day. And John can think of nothing better than a marriage. That lead up anticipation for a wedding ceremony. This church hosted a wedding just yesterday, beautifully decorated. A couple that had waited a long time to be married in that way had count down the days and the years and the times and their families alongside them, counting it down. It was a joyous event to be in attendance of, to realize that. And that's the foretaste, just the glimpse, just the appetizer, the imagery that the author's trying to reach at to get what a Christian's countdown is like for Christ coming. The anticipation, like a bride waiting for the groom, like waiting for those doors to swing open, and that magical moment is like what we are in anticipation for Christ coming. Waiting for those doors to swing open where we will be united together for all of eternity. Like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband, I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There's going to be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things gone forever. And then the one sitting on the throne said, look, I'm making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. Maybe one of the greatest reasons that we have to be grateful is that we've gotten a glimpse of where this is all headed, that we will be in the presence of our Creator, the one who perfectly cares for us for all of eternity, will be our union and walk in relationship, and that we get a foretaste of that even in this life. Because the great truth of the gospel is that God desires not only to give us eternal life, but starting it in this life, as we come to a union and a relationship with Jesus himself. We have a story to tell to the nations. It's good news. And it's good news ultimately rooted in what God has done through the person and work of Jesus and what he will do for all of eternity. That's a song we're singing about. I'm prone to cut out the songs, but I can't do that in a service dedicated to singing those songs. And so just stand as you're able. As much as we got left, let's sing it up in our praise and worship to him. Let's stand and sing.
Oh,
taking a nap after this one, I'll tell you that. But I've got room for one more shout left. We'll sing and shout. Did you catch that? We'll be woo for all eternity when we're in the presence of Jesus. Do you got one more woo left in you? Let's see on the count of three. One, two, three. Woo! Happy Thanksgiving. Go in peace. Go in peace.